Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. We got a little patriotic music today. That's all we're doing today is patriotic stuff. It's the 4th of July, 2007. It's Independence Day in America and for Americans, because some Americans are listening to this show in other parts of the world. They're listening over the internet. And wherever you are, Americans, I hope you're celebrating this day as we are here in our homeland. And so good luck to you. God bless America. I'm glad you're joining us. I'm glad you're spending some time with us, because this is a live show. As you know, we do all the holidays live, as we do just about all our shows, right? Monday through Friday. I've been doing this now since 97, and it's a lot of fun. Dennis Pogue is with us again, ladies and gentlemen. I'm excited about having Dennis back on the show. He's done a great job for us in the past. He's Associate Director of Preservation at Mount Vernon. He's here to talk to us about what we should remember, what the importance of remembering the history of our country, including the father, what the man who we call the father of our country, first general and then President George Washington. Dennis, welcome back to the show.
Pleasure to be here, Jim.
Happy Independence Day.
Thank you so much. It's a great day.
Before we get into anything else, anything about history or any of the other stuff we're going to talk about, I want you to tell us about what happens on a typical 4th of July at Mount Vernon.
Well, normally we have a good crowd. The weather's gorgeous today, so I'm sure we'll have lots and lots of people. We have a number of special activities here. We have, you know, George Washington will be around to talk to folks. People are always, and Martha Washington as well.
Oh, Martha will be there too. Oh, good.
Martha will be there as well. And we always do, we always do something special for the 4th of July. We have some, you know, oftentimes have fife and drum corps here and things like that. And every year we do naturalization ceremonies.
Tell us about that.
Well, folks come and they are sworn in, get their papers, become American citizens.
How many do you think you'll have today?
Let's see. The last one we did, we had about 300 people, I think.
Wow.
And it's always a great event.
I bet that's an emotional event for a lot of them.
It is. It's very heartwarming to folks.
I'd love to come see that sometime.
So that'd be great. They do. They work hard, and this is a wonderful place for them to get their reward.
Well, how are those people chosen? How do they get to be naturalized on that day in that place?
Well, yeah, I think it's just kind of the luck of the draw.
Is that what happens? Somebody draws their name and says, okay, this is...
Well, it's just the folks that are in the pipeline, to have it done in the Washington, D.C. area. And, works out on the date that it happens. So.
You mentioned that the president's going to be roaming around, obviously a portrayer. There are a number of Lincoln portrayers. In fact, one of our good friends, one of our Brain Trust members, Gene Greisman, is one of the top Lincoln portrayers in the world. He goes all over the place doing Lincoln, you know, so to speak. And are there any Washington portrayers?
Oh, absolutely. The one that we use most of the time here is specially trained. He came... he's a new one. We had a fellow named Bill Summerfield, who was our George Washington for about 20 years.
Yeah.
And he just retired recently, and so we recruited a new actor to do that job. And he came and spent about a week and a half at Mount Vernon with all the staff, and we showed him around and quizzed him and gave him all the information. So he's pretty well trained.
Well, I just wondered if I've never heard of someone traveling around the country doing. Of course, Lincoln was such a great speaker; he was known for the great speeches. But there's one thing here that I've been publishing every year for several years now, Dennis, that I'd like to attribute to George Washington. It was from his last speech. mm-hmm. from his farewell speech as he left the presidency of the United States after he had just turned down a third term, and which set the stage, as you know, for the way our presidents did for many years, even before it became law. But he in this speech, which some people say was written or at least heavily influenced by Alexander Hamilton, here's what he said. He said, quote, "The name American, which belongs to you in your national capacity, must always exalt the pride, the just pride of patriotism. You have in common cause fought and triumphed together. The independence and liberty you possess are the work of joint counsels and joint effort, of common dangers, sufferings, and successes." End quote. Isn't that a great passage? And I just love the fact that he said the name American. He named us, didn't he?
He did. And he, of course, was looking to the future. He'd spent the last, several decades of his life, being probably the most instrumental person in getting the United States established. And so this was his opportunity to, give some advice to his fellow citizens that he thought would help them down the road.
I'm constantly amazed, Dennis, by how the framers and the founders of this nation, the founders of our country and the framers of our Constitution and all the documents there too, I'm constantly amazed even though they often didn't like each other. There was bickering, there was jealousies, in fact, as we know, there actually was one duel over some of these guys, some of their differences. But with all that, they still seem to have this paternal attitude, this love of this idea that they were creating. The idea, for in Washington's case, for example, a lot of people their ego wouldn't have allowed them to have turned down a third term. But Washington, his vision for the presidency was something else, wasn't it?
Well, it was, and I think you're right. As a group, those individuals, mostly men, of course, had such a strong, vision for the future and such a, an understanding of the remarkable, feat that they were carrying out, that they were always looking to posterity and they were, trying to get behind, put all their differences behind in hopes of getting this going forward in the right direction. And Washington was probably the preeminent one. He in his last years, he really had such a strong vision for the future.
They were so sensitive in those days, especially to avoiding anything that smacked of a monarchy. They were very sensitive to that, and that was one of the reasons, I think, that this happened. Stand by. Dennis Pogue is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's Associate Director of Preservation at Mount Vernon. It's 20 after. Happy Independence Day. Dennis and I will be right back. Stay with us. Okay, here we go. Welcome back. It's 23 after. This patriotic music gets started a little slow sometimes, folks. You have to kind of get in the mood for it. You have to get in the, you have to set your pace for it and just kind of let it roll over you a little bit. Just let it, just kind of wash over you and think about what we have here in this country of America. Those of you who are Americans in other lands, just think about where we are and how wonderful it is to be an American. I'm pretty proud about being an American. I'm so patriotic, I can't stand it. And I love what we have here. I love what we do, warts and all. And there are a lot of things that we need to fix. But in general, I think the rest of the world looks to the United States for when they think of freedom, when they think of liberty. And, that's the reason why we got so many people wanting to come here. People aren't running away from the United States. They're running toward the United States. And somebody who knows all about that is Dennis Pogue. And Dennis is, and I want to correct how I've been introducing him, folks. He is Associate Director at Mount Vernon, but he is the director of preservation at Mount Vernon. That's his job. He's an archaeologist by trade. He's been there for just over 20 years now. Did I understand you just celebrated your 20th anniversary, Dennis?
That's right, Jim. I had no idea when I came there that I'd be there that long, but it's been great.
Happy anniversary, and I'll tell you what, you have a cool job there. I think you should be. You know, on the Fox Sunday morning show with Chris Matthews, they have that Power Player of the Week. I think you should be one of the Power Players of the Week. Hey, Dennis, tell us a little bit about. By the way, give us the website there at Mount Vernon.
Sure. www.mountvernon.org, and please come and visit us there. We've got all sorts of stuff for you.
Now, you've been working on some new projects. In fact, the last time you were here, you told us a little bit about some of the projects you were working on. So how are those coming?
Sure. Well, you know, last time we talked about Washington's distillery, the fact that, you know, most folks don't know that George Washington, among his many other things, actually operated one of the largest whiskey distilleries in the country. And we excavated that site and have spent a couple of years reconstructing it. And in March, we dedicated it and opened it. So now when you come to Mount Vernon, not only can you see the mansion and everything else, but you can go down and see a whiskey distillery like Washington.
Can I get a little taste?
Well, not yet, but we're planning on doing that in the future.
Am I going to be able to get a little nip when I come there, Dennis, later in the future?
Absolutely.
You know, just for medicinal purposes, of course.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Historical interest to see.
Exactly. No, in the interest of research, I'll have to check that out. No question about it. What about some of the other things you're working on?
Well, and right now we're working on one of the outbuildings at Mount Vernon. We have about 15 buildings that survived from George Washington's day. And one of them, the gardener's house, where Washington's gardener lived in the 18th century, had been our security building for over 100 years. So we moved that function out so that we can return that building to its 18th century appearance.
Was it where it was? I mean, was it your security building as it had stood for on that place for all those years? Or
It had.
Did you move it, or did you leave it where it is?
No, we left it where it was. Yeah. It was a small building, and it was crammed full of all of our security stuff, and so mm-hmm. we took all that out and put it in a new building. And so one of the benefits of that was that it allows us to return it to its appearance
right.
as it was. And so when visitors come, they'll be able to go inside, and it'll be basically like a domestic space as the gardener would have lived in it mm-hmm. when he was living there.
How long, if I come to Mount Vernon for a visit and I want to see, you know, pretty much everything, I want to take the you know, mm-hmm. drink it all in, how much time should I set aside?
Oh, gosh, a half a day, I'd say 4 hours.
Yeah.
Between the mansion and the gardens and grounds and our new education center and then the distillery down the road, it's a good 4 hour experience.
And once the distillery gets going, it might take a little longer, right?
It might take a little longer.
Might have to hang out there for a little while.
That's right.
What does it cost to see all that?
Oh gosh, I think for adults now it's $13, and
what a deal.
For kids it's a little bit less, and seniors a little bit less, of course.
You know, Washington wasn't born a rich man. He married a little bit of wealth, didn't he?
Well, he did.
But he was a pretty good businessman, wasn't he?
Absolutely. A combination of things. You know, marrying Martha brought, you know, quite a bit of money into the marriage that allowed him to do things that he couldn't have done otherwise. But at the end of his life, he owned over 60,000 acres of land and had all sorts of activities. As I mentioned before, the distillery that he ran was one of the biggest ones in the country. And he was very very successful, had a very good eye for business as well as
everything
else.
He was a slave owner, but he lamented the fact, didn't he?
He did. When he died, there were about 300 slaves living at Mount Vernon. He actually freed the slaves that he owned, about 123 of them, in his will. And he was really the only founding father to do that.
In those days, a lot of people don't realize that in those days, some states, it was actually illegal to emancipate slaves in those days.
It was. It was complex. There were lots of different competing laws mm-hmm. around, and you had to make, and if you did free them, in Virginia you could, you had to make provisions you know, for supporting them after they were freed.
Exactly.
So it was kind of a complex situation. Certainly Washington, over the course of his lifetime, I think his attitudes towards slavery changed pretty dramatically.
A lot of them did. The Jeffersons, I think, as well. Dennis, thank you for being here. Thanks for the good work that you're doing there at Mount Vernon, and we'll look forward to next time.
My pleasure, Jim.
Give us that website again one more time.
www.mountvernon.org.
MountVernon.org. Dennis Pogue, ladies and gentlemen, the director of preservation at Mount Vernon. Quick break. Right back with Don Lambro. We're going to continue our celebration of Independence Day in America.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.